Welcome to a new episode of Her Story.
Today we're interviewing Dr. Evelyn Tolliver,
who wrote the book called The Parent's Guide to Money, Lessons Our Parents Never Taught Us. Evelyn is fabulous and just happens to be family to me. So I'm so excited to have her here and talk about her book. So Evelyn, what made you want to write this book?
Okay, so the concept of the book has been, I guess, in my heart and in my soul for a long time. I'm a teacher by trade. I'm out of the classroom, but I've been a teacher for a while. Prior to being a teacher, I was in the financial industry where I learned that I didn't know anything about money. Like, you know, I had graduated from college and did all the things I was supposed to do, but I didn't have any money and I didn't have a concept of money and didn't even understand the importance of it until I got into banking. And when I was working with basically millionaires and consulting them about money when my account was probably overdrawn at the time. What it allowed me to do was to take some of the nuggets that I was taught to talk to them about and really apply it to myself. But then later on, I became a teacher and I saw how many of our students had the same exact experience I had. A lot of our parents are not talking to their kids about money, and not because they don't love them, but because they don't have the foundation themselves. So during the pandemic, the book came out during the pandemic. I decided to write the book because during the pandemic, everybody's stuck in the house, so I decided to get on social media, which before that, I was like, no, I don't want to. My students are going to access me. So I was never a social media person. But I got on social media, and I would see all these posts about parents saying things like, I'm going to make my kid a millionaire. I'm going to start an LLC. And I was like, what's the correlation? I'm going to make my kid a millionaire. I'm going to take all of their money that I have saved for them and invest it into crypto coin, whichever one, not a specific one, but any crypto coin. And again, if you're trying to buy on the high side, you're not going to make a lot of money. So if you're trying to buy crypto coin right now, we all know there's two that's like hot. Everybody's talking about them right now. So if you buy them right now, you're buying them on the high side. So the only way for the money to go is down. So you actually put all of your child's money into a sinking market. But these are things that people don't know. We're not taught this. And so while I want to start a school, I want to do a lot of things, the immediate thing I knew I could do was get the message out. And that's why I turned it into a book. And so that's the genesis of the book.
Well, I think that's fabulous because when I think about my education and the difference between mine and kids today, we had a class where we at least learned how to write a check or how to have a bank account. And I know that they've taken a lot of that out of schools. And so, because when I volunteered, I did a money seminar for, I think they were second graders. And they all looked at me like, what the heck is going on? You know, because they don't know. And so I think that the concept of the book is fabulous. I've read it, of course. But tell parents how envision them using this to help their children.
Okay, so I wrote the book to be very practical and very applicable. So while there's a lot of narrative and really talking about where I come from, there are also activities and strategies that you can apply with your kids. You can use and apply those right away with your kids. So like there's one of the first few lessons just talks about the difference between needs and wants. And even as adults, we think we know the difference. Oh, I know what the needs are, food, shelter, clothing. And this is true. We do need food. We do need shelter. We do need clothing. We don't need Ruth's Chris. We don't need Red Bottoms. And we don't need a 10-bedroom mansion living by ourselves. And so there's a difference between the needs and the wants. And that's the conversation you actually want to have with your kids, because let's say, for instance, they play sports. They do need sneakers. You can't get away with saying, oh, you don't need sneakers. We could just get you some flip-flops. That's not necessarily true for everybody. So if they play a sport, they do need sneakers. Do they need $200, $300 Jordans? The answer is probably no. No, the answer is no. They don't need Jordans. While we want wealth, we want what's best for our kids. We don't want the fun activities or the fun things or the good things from them. We just want there to be balance. and for them to have an understanding of what your true needs are and what your wants are. And when you can make that decision to cross over more into a want than a necessarily a need. No one, while we can say all we need is shelter, I don't want to just live in a shack. I don't want to. So, we can make a compromise based on how much we have and things like that. So what I want the parents to do is have the conversation, then apply the activity, and then converse again. Because you're going to get into these conversations because, just like you just mentioned, their reality is different than our reality. What was super important to us is not so important to them. And I laugh at these memes and things that I see on, social media that are like, oh, these kids want iPhones and all we want is this. And it was like that old clear phone with like the colorful, where you could see the colorful wires.
Yes, I wanted one of those so bad. I had to like wait till I made money from
Facebook. Right, well, you had to sell $2 million things from some fundraiser because it was one of the prizes. But like, their reality is different than our reality. The truth of the matter is that they need, a lot of our kids actually do need cell phones because they're further from us than we were allowed to be. We were like down the street all the time. You know, parents could yell out the window. But now if you are sending your kid to swim club, dance, or wherever you're sending them, you're not necessarily right there and you might want them to have easier access. So yeah, they do need a cell phone. Do they need the greatest, newest, most high-tech version? Probably not. And so that's the difference between a need and a want. And if they had to apply their money to that, whether or not they needed or wanted it, they would actually start to make those determinations a lot faster. Because if you go in the store, take a kid to, I want to say a toy store, but I don't know if they exist anymore. But but you take a kid down the toy aisle of a big store, they want everything. They need it. But if you say, okay, you got money, where's your money? And they're like, even if they have money, you can bring them with their own birthday money. Then all of a sudden, they are negotiating in their own heads whether or not they really need this. And you'll see a kid make a decision that, nah, I'm going to wait till my birthday. Or I'm going to wait till Christmas. I'm going to wait till I see grandma, which is exactly what we want them to do. This is what we want them to do. Start making good money-making decisions at a young age.
That all of that rings true because I know Olivia with her Target gift cards, she starts doing all sorts of math that she don't know how to do multiplication, but all of a sudden she can do all of, okay. So you're telling me a story because you knew how to do this from the beginning. Anyway, I mean, but that's absolutely true. When we look at our children and teaching them about money, especially discerning what a need and a want is huge. And making them make decisions based on knowing, I think that's a wonderful thing. One of the things that I took away from your book was when you were talking about them working for their money, even at a younger age when it could only be maybe cleaning up somebody's yard or having a lemonade stand. I thought that was interesting because I feel like that teaches them also some entrepreneurship type skills because, children don't necessarily get the idea that when I'm sitting at my computer, because a lot of us are working from home and we're sitting here and we're working, they don't get that ends up being money in the bank or their dance lesson or whatever. So talk a little bit about how we can help our children understand the correlation between work and earning.
Right. So, earning money is huge because opportunities for earning money are not presented or just shared with them. They just believe that you're supposed to give them money. And realistically, we don't have enough money to just keep giving them money. And we won't as they continue to get older and want even more expensive things and need even more expensive things. We want to make sure that we're helping them develop into problem solvers and ways to figure out how to get money. So, one of the chapters in my book, Making Money, but it talks about them taking a strategy, something that they know and something that they're good at. So if I like kids, then maybe I can make money babysitting. If I like pets, maybe I could be a dog walker. And it does. It stirs up a spirit of entrepreneurship that it's actually in all of us that we have put to the wayside because sometimes being an entrepreneur takes a lot of work. So we're like, forget it. I'm going to go work for my job, my boss, my company. And then a pandemic happens and ruins everybody's life. And then we're like, shoot, what was my entree? What was I good at again? But the point is, if we start to talk to our kids, what do you like to do? What do you want to do? What are you good at? You'll start to see that there are ways to make money off of the things they're already good at or the things they're already interested in. And while they might not be great the first few times, like, you know, I know a lot of young kids that started making masks in the beginning of the pandemic and really pulled out sewing machines. And I'm like, honest to God, I don't even know how to use a sewing machine. So I'm like, this is a skill and this is a trade that you can use for the rest of your life. Don't put that sewing machine back once we are all backing out and don't need masks. Just consider what other things you can use to apply that money towards. But but really having kids have a full understanding of earning money versus just believing that money falls out the sky is a good, valuable lesson that kids learn. And if it's just a matter of starting them with chores and just paying them for their chores, that's a good place to start as well. But really, if you look around you and see what the needs are in your community and what your kid is good at, like I remember maybe 4 years ago, we had Snowmageddon. There was so much snow out here, but it was the whole East Coast. So while I am in Baltimore, a lot of my family's in New York. And so my cousin's sons, they have to call me Aunt Evelyn, so they're my nephews. I text them because they were older at the time, 16 years old. And I'm like, Jay, Kai, y'all got to get out there. Go out there and go make some money. Like, really, you could probably make, because I am not that old and I'm able-bodied, but when I saw the amount of snow that had fallen on my sidewalk, I was like, I'm not going out there. I need a young man to walk past me with a shovel and I will give him money. And initially, the parents, because I didn't have my nephew's numbers, I was going through their parents. Initially, the parents were like, oh, they're not going to do it. They're lazy. I said, well, tell them to do it. Just give them the option. Later on that day, I get texts from random numbers. It turned out to be the two boys. And they're like, oh, thanks, Aunt Evelyn. We made $300 today from shoveling they made $100 per driveway because that's how high the snow was. And I'm like, see, these opportunities are out here and they're able-bodied. They're young. They're not going to be stuck in the house, hopped up on Advil for a month because they shoveled. So since they can do it now, imagine how many times it's going to snow this season and how much money they can make. And all you have, the only investment, real investment, was a shovel and some time. And so these are the things we have. We have to tell our kids that it's out there if you want it.
Yeah,
it's out there if you really want it. The opportunities are out there. And the other thing, it goes back to once they make their own money, magically, they don't need the McDonald's anymore. They are perfectly willing to eat the home food because they're like, wait, you know how long it took me to make this $12 and I'm going to eat it in 3 minutes. So once they start earning money, it spills into multiple lessons.
I think I need to move back east, so Olivia has to stop.
She can rake, she can plant flowers.
She'd be mad at me. I'm kidding. She's a good kid. But, and so what do you say to a parent who says, okay, I think that my kid, you know, my kid's making money and I want to teach them how to save and what to do with that money because we don't always want to spend it. I know that you talked a little bit about saving for bigger.
Okay. So, another lesson in the book is just money jars. But if the kids are older, they're not going to use jars. So it's perfectly fine to just open up accounts for them. But you do want to start to talk to them about saving just to get in the practice of saving in general. So like once they start to make money, and what I think is fair to me, because I was counseling a young lady maybe 3 weeks ago, her and her mom, And they're like, oh, talk to us. We need help with helping her with finance. She's about to start her first job. And I told her she should save half her check. And I was like, half her check? All you're going to do is get her to quit. If you tell her to take 50% of her money and put it in the bank, she's going to quit. So because she worked so hard all week and she's not seeing her money, what she worked for. So what you want to do is make it something reasonable. Somewhere to me between 10% and maybe 25%. Because if that's just a normal practice of dropping that in the bank, that can stay the same exact percentage once she starts making six figures. Like, if you're just so used to taking 10% of your bank, 10% of your check and putting it in the bank, the same way that you do 10% and tithe, if you're a tither or philanthropist or anything else you do, if you just set it up so that it just automatically happens, that's easy. As an adult, I don't want to say never, but close to never have opportunity to save half of our paycheck. So we don't want to set unrealistic goals as a kid. But so that's the first thing. If they don't have anything in particular that they're saving for, then just have them just put aside 10%, because one day you're going to wake up and want something and the money will be there. But then if they are saving for something bigger, or what might not be big to us, but so big and so important to them, nowadays, PlayStations or gaming consoles are super expensive. They're like really expensive, but the young men, some of the young women really need, they're like, oh, I need this newest version. I don't have a clue what the newest version is because I have not played since Contra was out. But but if that's a big ticket item, then you start telling them. What you want to do is start figure out how much it costs. If this costs $500, and you make $100 a week, how much are you willing to save per week towards that thing, towards that big ticket item? And what are you giving up to save for that? Because that's the other thing. These lessons start to intertwine into other things. So if it's summertime and you have all these cookouts and parties and you want to hang out with your friends, if you're saving $50 a week to go towards your gaming console, will you still be able to hang out with your friends the way you want to? And if not, are you okay with that? These are the things, these are all multiple lessons that kind of intertwine that we as adults have to deal with on a daily basis. We know that literally stopping to get lunch when we, because we packed our lunch but forgot it on the coffee table, might make a difference in something else we're trying to do later on that week. So, when they make these decisions, you say, okay, do you really want it? And then you start to help them budget for it. You start to say, okay, you want it. It costs $500. You make $100 a week. You could take the whole 100 and not do nothing for five whole weeks. Or you could cut it in half and say 50 and you'll have it within 10 weeks. The biggest thing, in my opinion, is to make sure that they have a choice. Don't make demands on them. Oh, if you really want that, you will save a whole 100. It has to be their choice and their decision to do it, or else they will not have a good, they won't have a good relationship with money. And they'll, when they finally get it and get out of your house and get out of your rule, they'll blow it. The whole point is to teach our kids not to blow it. So like I ask teenagers, I do this presentation with teenagers and I ask the $5,000 question. If a long lost aunt gave you $5,000, what would you do with it? And you can always tell the difference.
I wanted to first of all say thank you. I think that your book is helpful. It was really helpful to me because in some senses I didn't know where to start with Olivia. I mean, she's 9 years old and you would think at nine maybe, oh, we've got
right.
But in actuality you don't have a couple of years to go. At 9 years old, she's already making decisions about money, and it's usually your money. So you want to definitely develop a relationship with money for her that she can take into her life later on. So that's what I really appreciated about your book, was just kind of getting, and I got into your head because, you know, I didn't know all that stuff. So that was awesome. But I want to thank you for coming on and thank you for sharing your book with me. And we look
thank
forward
you.
To
thank
next
you.
Adventure.
Thank you for inviting me. This was fun. those of you out there, go get the book. It's only $7. It's like the point is to get the word out and actually start practicing. I don't know. I have a question for you. Where did you start in the book with Olivia?
Honestly, we are only trying to okay. go through don't spend my money at this point because she really, right. the concept is really not there for her at all. And right now she was doing so much. And I think this is hard for some parents. She was mm-hmm. in dance, and so we were constantly on the move, and so she didn't really have a chance to, like, do anything else. She was already overloaded. So this mm-hmm. summer, we're going to talk more about money because, you know, so right. she can get it by school time, and she'll start to get, but she definitely, we started with a saving my change in her piggy bank,
right.
but it never gets spent, you know? It literally right. never gets spent. If she has money, it stays in her pocket until she's ready to spend it. And I'm like, but it's okay. I mean, we're going to get there. We're definitely going to get there.
Too. You know, they always say use other people's money.
Well, you never know. Olivia probably will be a millionaire just because, you know. Her mom's but yes, and we will put your information to get to your book on our website, so everybody who's listening, you can get a chance to find the download link from Amazon. It's available in Kindle and in paperback, and we will see you next time, and thanks again, Evelyn.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.